tomorrow as we'll make our way out to Houston, Texas for baseball weekend over at the Houston Astros ballpark. Coastal Carolina coming off a 13-7 win over Campbell last night. Bats got going. We jumped up early, 6-0, let that 6-0 lead slip away, only to score the game's final 7 runs to pick up the lopsided victory. The Shots are now 6-2 overall, moving into Friday night's contest against the Texas Longhorns over in Houston. And speaking of a Texas Longhorn, we have one on the phone line right now with our friend Richard Battle from the Lone Star State, Americans who made America. Richard, look forward to seeing you with this upcoming weekend, Friday night. It'll be the Shots and the Longhorns. I never thought that this might happen. Maybe a College World Series, not so much here during the regular season. Should be a great weekend of baseball out in Houston.
Well, thank you for having us with you, Joe, and we look forward to seeing you Friday. And it's a great time of the year with college baseball starting, and I really look forward to the game Friday since the Shots were the runners-up last year, and I think they'll have another terrific team this year.
Yeah, no question. Texas getting a lot of love near the top of the country as well here in the early preseason top 25 rankings. Obviously, we've been rehashing the State of the Union before we get into the meat of our conversation, which will also coincide with one of our commanders-in-chief, in fact, the first one ever, who was born just a couple of days ago, fresh off President's Day. And your thoughts on President's Day, Washington's birthday. Before we get to that, one of the best things I think I enjoy most about these State of the Unions, no matter who the President of the United States is, and these days you can get all this information politically, so quickly on a day-to-day basis, especially during the Trump era, where he shies away from no question, no camera, and will pretty much share his thoughts with you unvetted any given day of the week. So it's changed a bit maybe historically over the last few decades because we see the President in front of the camera more than we ever have before. I mean, pre-George Bush, meaning younger Bush. I mean, State of the Union, maybe a big announcement, some sort of national event that captures the nation's attention, a foreign conflict. That's when you'd see the President. Now you hear and see from him on a day-to-day basis, better or worse. But I would say that the most interesting part of these addresses each time it happens in a joint session as Congress is to hear and learn about the stories of the great American people who do so much, whether they're war heroes, random citizens who express bravery and heroism, a young person who overcomes a challenge, whether that be from a car accident or some sort of health-related issue. And I mean, this is the basis of what you do, right, with Americans Who Made America, is follow the influencers and the people of this great country and the long history of that dating back 250 years.
Well, you're exactly correct. The original communications from presidents to Congress were delivered in written format. They didn't do a speech. And over time, they started giving speeches, and Ronald Reagan was the first one to bring an American citizen into the gallery and highlight them. And obviously, it's become more and more theatrical. And with all the negativity in the country, with people telling us what we can't do and our children can't have lives as good as ours, that's why I'm putting out this Americans Who Made America series, because I want to highlight people who are ordinary Americans who chased dreams, who overcame things. And so I love seeing those stories because it gives us more confidence and optimism, not only in our country, but our opportunities to live the best lives possible.
Do you think, at times, obviously it was the longest speech ever given, by a president in this current form, but one of the more telling moments that no doubt will get a lot of attention in the news cycle here today, and it did last night with the post-speech reaction, was the part that hopefully Republicans, in their eyes, that will live on through the midterm elections. Stand up if you think your duty is first to protect American citizens over people in our country illegally. And half the chamber did not stand and call attention to that being, their first duty as representation in Washington, D.C. Do you think that will reverberate amongst the masses here in the next several weeks as we look in the rearview mirror on that night?
Well, I do, and I hope it does, because there is never in my lifetime been a more stark contrast between the parties, and neither one's perfect, obviously, but there is a big contrast, and average American citizens, I don't think, understand the changes that have occurred. This is not your daddy's Democrat Party. My parents and grandparents were Democrats almost for life until they changed because the party moved too far away from its roots. And I think today that question was the starkest contrast of those parties last night. And I don't know how anybody could sit there and not want to say they serve the American people over illegal aliens.
Well, with that being said, obviously the focus of today's conversation will be on General George Washington, our first commander in chief. He is famous for saying, in regards to political parties, right, coming from his 1796 farewell address, that when it comes to partisanship or, quote unquote, the spirit of party, that's a major threat to the stability of what was the new republic. Does that not still remain a massive threat to the way we live life here in our country?
Well, yes, and I think that's worse than it's been before, because if you'll remember years ago when there would be votes on bills, it was not strict party line votes. You'd see splits one direction or the other depending on the issues, whereas today it's almost totally party line focused. And I believe that's because the leaders in both houses control the funds to enable them to get reelected. And they realize that they buck leadership, they will have a primary challenge and they will not get funded for their reelection campaign. And so when individuals campaign to get elected and saying they're going to do this or that, that's not true. When they go to Congress or the Senate the first time, normally they do what they're told to do by those leaders, which makes only four of the 535 representatives in the Congress or Senate, only four are really important.
Talking with Richard Battle, again, a series of books, Americans Who Made America, looking at influential leaders through first couple of centuries in our nation's existence, now getting ready to celebrate the 250th birthday, obviously, come July 4th of this year. But when it comes to Washington, obviously, over the years, we have just kind of put every president into the same category, recognizing the office and not necessarily the man as it was once intended. Obviously, President's Day a couple of Mondays back. But you feel like we should go back to recognizing George Washington individually on his born day, which happened to be back on Monday, February 22nd.
Well, that's absolutely correct. So 1879, the Congress made George Washington's birthday a holiday. And when I was growing up, we had Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday as holidays. And then someone got the bright idea in 1971 that we needed more three-day weekends, and they consolidated and created President's Day. Well, when you do that, you create the perception amongst people who don't know any better that all presidents are alike and should be celebrated alike, even though if you look it up on the internet, it says it's supposed to be focused on Washington. It's not. And I believe he needs to be highlighted because he is the GOAT of our presidents, and we need to teach our children to have the character of George Washington because of that exemplary example that he set for us, not only leading us in the Revolutionary War to victory, but his sacrifice, leaving home in 1775 and being gone 8 years, and then going back and serving two terms as president and voluntarily walking away when he could have been king or president for life. And King George of England said that if Washington voluntarily gave up the power, he'd be the greatest leader of all time.
Yeah, there's no question. Obviously, it's something that was never seen before in the world's history. And basically, he was pulled into this right after the Revolutionary War was over. He wanted to go back to his home at Mount Vernon, and essentially he was convinced that he needs to serve as our first commander-in-chief. And I guess given his backdrop and given just his line of thinking the entire way, it wasn't a surprise to some of the people around him, was it?
No, not at all. He was a servant leader before that term was there. And yes, he got called back, got unanimously elected president. And when he walked away after two terms, he realized that if the country was going to survive long term, it needed to have fresh leadership very periodically. 8 years he thought was enough. Today we see people stay in for careers and only leave feet first when they're carried out, thinking they're indispensable. And none of us are indispensable. We'd be much better off with fresher turnovers of leadership. It wouldn't be as ingrained, these political positions that we – we see. And if people want to celebrate No King's Day, they ought to celebrate it on Washington's birthday, because he's the one that gave us no kings.
Talking with Richard Battle again, Americans Who Made America. And now, I guess, technically speaking, right, the federal government still recognizes President's Day as Washington's birthday, though everyone else, of course, thinks of it as President's Day. But my whole thing, as you kind of highlighted there, I mean, you know, from where he came from to his ability to turn the tide of the war, obviously in different parts of the colonies, you know, different influential figures played a role. Here in South Carolina, we've been sharing those stories through this year. We've actually talked with you about people like Francis Marion, for instance. But nonetheless, I mean, he was essentially a failed general prior to his efforts within the Revolutionary War. How did this guy continue to build support amongst the colonists that had no idea whether or not this thing was going to work out for their betterment with their lives and their families' lives on the line?
Well, that's a great question. And before that, Washington fought in the French and Indian War, and he sought a commission in the British Regular Army. If he'd have been given that, he would have been on the British side instead of our side. And so that was very interesting. You're right that his initial leadership failed, and they were chased out of Brooklyn into Manhattan. The British chased him out of Manhattan all the way down New Jersey and across the Delaware into Pennsylvania, and that crossing the Delaware on Christmas night and attacking Trenton the next morning, and that victory and the one after it were the one that changed the morale for the rest of the war, and it got France to come in and help us. So many other things that helped, and after that it was much better. Washington not only had to fight the British, but he had American generals who wanted him fired and to replace him, so he did not have loyalty from his generals that he needed, but he had loyalty from the troops, and that's what made the difference.
And obviously, when you have detractors in terms of how our nation was founded, the influence our founding fathers should have on the way we see life today, they point to things like slavery, obviously. They point to the Native American people. Washington, in a lot of ways, was ahead of his time, but understood that there is no way in this current state as a new republic that we're going to move forward this sort of massive change during his lifetime. And obviously, that came many years later, obviously for worse in a lot of ways. But nonetheless, I mean, they paint them all into the same picture here. But in large part, a lot of these people were forward-thinking men who saw the vision and kind of laid the foundation for future generations to help make the change that they couldn't necessarily advocate for, because they knew that the republic would fall apart real quick if they were to take those giant leaps and to stick their neck out on things that were controversial at the time.
Well, yes, and one of the people I write about in Americans Who Made America, the 18th Century volume, is Billy Lee, who was George Washington's valet, and he was a young enslaved person to Washington, but I believe he contributed to the war beyond what we can know, because he was with Washington the entire war, and I believe that he gave Washington encouragement when he needed it, because as the chief general, Washington had very few people he could confide in. And I believe that he confided in Billy Lee, and Billy Lee gave him that encouragement. You can do it, general. The troops will follow you. That could have made a difference. And we don't know, but because Billy Lee lived at Mount Vernon the rest of his life, Billy Lee was the only one mentioned in George Washington's will. Billy Lee was freed, the only enslaved person Washington freed in his will, and Billy Lee is buried at Mount Vernon. So that tells me that George Washington valued his relationship with Billy Lee, and that Billy Lee helped him as much as he could from his position.
Hey, and lastly, I mean, just overcoming so many different things throughout the course of his life. I mean, how about the many different ailments that he had from a health standpoint? I mean, miracle in and of itself that he was able to survive, thrive, become our first commander-in-chief. He could have died at any given time, given the many different health issues that this guy has had along the way.
Well, not only that, but during the French and Indian War, he had several horses shot out from under him. He had bullets pierce his clothing, but never his skin. So people felt like Providence favored George Washington and the ailments. And when we hear the stories that they used to say, where you'd go to a building in the Northeast and it'd have a sign, George Washington slept here, that was an example of how much the public esteemed his leadership and how he focused on taking care of them and not himself. And I think those are things that we need to highlight separately and not throw him in with the good and the bad and the ugly presidents.
And in fact, I have slept at a George Washington hotel in Morristown, New Jersey. One of the last times I actually went up to the Garden State, because it was the only hotel open in the middle of the night, so I can get my family some rest before we hung out with some extended family and friends. Up in Morristown, of course, which was home to George Washington headquarters, Jockey's Hollow, and a lot of that Revolutionary War activity was pretty much entrenched in that growing up as a kid right around that area. What I think is really interesting, now that I'm here in South Carolina, I'm learning an entirely new history, particularly as it pertains to the American Revolution and what those patriots were doing here in the Palmetto State, obviously to help the efforts up north.
Well, I can't emphasize enough how much those people sacrificed for us and for generations behind us. Their health. They went out and fought. Thousands of them died. They ate shoe leather sometimes. They didn't have proper clothing. They slept on the ground. I mean, there are so many things they did, and so much of the American population has no knowledge or interest in what they did for us back then. And the more I read and study and learn about that generation and the gift they gave us, the more appreciative and impressed I am with that sacrifice. And they were led by example by George Washington.
Multiple publications penned by my friend Richard Battle, including two in a series of books, Americans Who Made America. And you can pick up one of those copies at richardbattle.com. Well, we're going to do battle, Richard, coming up on Friday when Mike Chanticleers take on your Longhorns. Look forward to seeing you at the ballpark in Houston later on this week.
Well, we look forward to it. Appreciate being here, and God bless America.
First time he has never said go Shants, by the way, here on his radio appearance with us on the Hot Talk Morning Show. I get where you're going there on Friday. We'll see what happens. Texas, obviously one of the top five teams in the country right now. Coastal slid down the rankings a bit, off to the 6-2 start. RichardBattle.com is website if you'd like to learn more about what he does and why he does it. Sort of our unofficial historian that joins us every couple of weeks here on the Hot Talk Morning Show. Great historian.